Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
You see, anything new that came into Athens, everybody flocked to because this was new. They're all with bated breath waiting on something new to be able to tell. And the Bible even says that that's all that they did. They spent all their time trying, learning and finding out things that were new. That's what it says in verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And so that was their mindset. You know, something new today. What can I hear? What can I learn? I need to know something more than that guy knows. And so they can go and run and tell somebody else. And so they can look like the brilliant man, you know. And listen, these folks, they didn't have anything else to do but sit around and try to be, number one with everything they knew. Athens was widely known for its great culture, its wonderful libraries, its art, its statues. I mean, it was a very upscale city. And people came from all over the world to visit this place. But the mentality of the Athenians is the same mentality we find in our very own country today, of everybody always looking for something new. If you notice that, everybody's always looking for something new. They don't want to hear about the old story. And that was the point I was trying to get to today, was the old story, which I told you when I started, I can't tell you anything new about the Lord Jesus. Everything that I can tell you is what God has wrote in His Word. And if I ever try to tell you something that's not in the Bible, and I tell you that God said it, or Jesus said it, you better throw me out of here as fast as you can, because if it's not in this Bible right here, it don't need to be spoke from this pulpit. All right, I'm not going to tell you anything new. I'm going to tell you what God says. And it's the old story, how a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me and a wretch like you. Friends, that's the old story. Listen, we can learn about a lot of new things. You can fill up a church today if you put out on a sign something nobody's ever heard of before. We're going to introduce something about God you've never heard in your life. Something nobody's ever seen. And you will fill that place up because people are just like they were in Athens. I mean, they want to hear something new. They want to come and learn something nobody else knows about so they can go around bragging about it. You know, that's the way that people are today. That's why it's hard to get people to sit for a 30, 45 minute sermon. Friends, that's a short sermon in the old days. 30 to 45 minutes, they wonder, well, where's the rest of the message at? They used to preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and that was nothing. And so, but you can't get anybody to sit still today 15, 20 minutes. They don't have the focus. They don't have the mindset. Everything's now. Everything's quick. We can't even eat supper. If it takes more than 15 minutes to fix in the microwave, then we need to order something out. Listen, that's the way this world is. It's rushing. It's fast. Everybody's, their attention, they can't sit down and listen to something and be focused on it. They've got their mind watering all over the place about everything in the world that's going on, and they can't listen to the old story because they want to hear a new story. Listen, it's no wonder the way things are today. I mean, news can spread in just a matter of seconds. I can get on my mobile phone right now, and I can go to Twitter. And you know what? I can find out something that's going all the way across on the other side of the world that just happened a minute ago. Somebody tweet about it, and I can find out. Somebody can shoot somebody over in Africa, and I can know about it within 45 seconds when somebody tweets it. And that's the way it is today. That's why we have so much, can I say it, fake news today. They don't care if it's true or not. They just want to be the first to report it. Somebody to tell what's new, what nobody else knows about. And so they rush it to the headlines. They rush it to the social media. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Put it on all the news sites. You know, they don't care if it's wrong. And when it comes out that it's wrong, they don't apologize for telling you a lie. It just keeps on going and going and going. And so there's no wonder today people won't sit still and listen to the old story. It's no wonder today there's so many people dying, lost, and going to hell because they've not sat under the gospel preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They don't have time for it. I don't have time to go down to that church and spend an hour of my day. Hey, friends, we ought to be in church all day long on the Lord's Day. Well, you know, we ought to get through with one message. Somebody else ought to get up and preach and teach. Somebody else ought to get up and sing a song. I mean, it ought to go on all day long. But people can't handle it today. Look at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Well, here Paul stands up. This This group of people here on Mars Hill at Areopagus, that's where their judges were housed. There were 12 of them. And you would go, if anything new came into the city, you were to go to these judges at Areopagus, and you were to present your teachings, and they were to approve it to whether or not you could go out and start teaching it. That's why they've got Paul there. This new doctrine he's teaching, it's strange to our ears. It's nothing we've ever done before. It's not one of our gods. We need this guy checked out. So they put him in front of the 12 judges. And Paul stands up in the middle of all those men. Think of it as our Supreme Court today. We got the Supreme Court judges. This is similar to the Supreme Court. And they put Paul right out in the middle of it to defend himself. And what's the first thing he does? He insults them. You see it? He insulted them. Paul stood in the middle of Mars Hill, which is another name for Areopagus. You men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. Boom! Just smacked him right in the face right when he stood up. Verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. So Paul, again, he insults him again. Listen, you've even got, of all things, when I came into your city and saw all these statues and all these idols and things you got, do you know I passed by one that said it was to the unknown God? And you guys are actually ignorantly worshiping this. You don't even know who the unknown God is. You don't even know, have a clue who it is that you're worshiping when you worship an unknown God. Well, he says, I'm going to tell you who it is. Let me fill you in on who this God is you don't have any idea about. This one, in case nothing else helps, in case Poseidon can't help it, in case Zeus can't hear you, in case Apollo can't hear you, you know what? I'm going to fill you in on who can hear you. And that's what he said. He says, whom I declare unto you. You ignorantly worship, but I'm going to declare him unto you. And I'm sure these Greek philosophers, they didn't take too kindly to Paul, his attitude right here. I'm sure they're looking around. I don't know if we want to listen to this guy any longer. I believe he is crazy. I believe he, listen to him coming here and insulting us, telling us we're too religious, too superstitious, tell us we don't know who we're worshiping, tell us we're ignorant. Look at verse 24. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So Paul starts out his sermon right here by telling them, listen here, this unknown God that you're worshiping, he is the Lord God, Jehovah. He is God, the God of heaven. He created the heavens, and he created the earth, and he created everything in them. And he controls all of them. He's sovereign, and everything goes through the Lord God of heaven. And I'm sure this has just blown them away, because they're thinking, what about Zeus? Well, what about Apollos? What about all these gods? You know, Paul's like, no. My God, the one I'm telling you about, the one that you're ignorantly worshiping, he is the one that has created everything, all the world. He says it made the world and all things therein. Well, verse 25, he goes on to say, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You see, these Greeks, they would come and they would take animals and sacrifice them on the altars to their Greek gods, thinking they were feeding the gods by doing this. Listen, Paul tells them point blank, he says, my God don't need you to feed him. He don't need anything. In fact, he's the one that gives life and breath to everything on this earth. He don't need your little pitiful sacrifices. God can't be confined to your little temples, or your huge temples, actually, they were huge. He can't be confined to one of those that your hands built, because he's not going to be in one of those temples. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. And verse 26, it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You see, the Greeks believed that all of life was left up to fate, and there wasn't anything anybody could do about it. The gods didn't plan it out. It's just whatever happened, happened because that was your fate. Well, Paul tells them, wait a minute. The God that I serve, the God that I worship, the God I'm telling you about, he holds the world in his hands. He's got it all planned out. He knows exactly what's going on. There's nothing that's being controlled by fate. It's all being controlled by God. Look at verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So Paul tells them they need to seek the Lord, the supreme being, the Kurios. That he is there, and they can find him if they'll just seek for him. If they can get all these Greek gods out of their minds, If they can get all their philosophy out of their mind, if they get Socrates out of their mind, if they can get all these brilliant men out of their mind and focus upon what Paul was telling them, listen, I can tell you about the supreme being, the Kurios, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can forget all that junk and focus your attention on Him and seek after Him, you will find Him because He's there to be found. Verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being, is certain also of our own poet, as your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by arts and man's device. So what Paul's doing here, he's explaining that man is totally dependent upon God. It is only by God's grace that we live, move, and exist. The Greeks, they put a lot of stock in their building their idols of gold, silver, stones. But Paul tells them that the God he's trying to tell them about is nothing at all like them. You think of everything you do about your gods, and my God is the complete opposite of all that. That part right there where he talks about also of your own poets have said. What that is, Paul's referring to this Greek poetry that was available at that time that all these men would have known about. Paul uses their own philosophy, their own Greek philosophers, against them by trying to prove to them, your own poets even admit to this, that your people are the offspring of gods. Well, let me tell you what, we are the offspring of the God, the number one God, the Lord God. And so he's breaking them down here using their own false doctrine, their own false gods, their own false religion against them. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So now Paul cuts to the chase. He's done open their eyes here. The Lord, he's showing them everything about the Lord. And now he's saying, now listen, there's been times that God has winked at this. He knew you were ignorant. He knew that people were worshiping these false gods by ignorance. They didn't know any better, didn't know about the Lord God. But now he expects you to know about him. And I've just told you about him. So now God's not going to wink at it if you continue worshiping these false and fake gods. If you go out there and build a sacrifice to Zeus or any of these other gods, he's not going to wink at that. He's going to hold you responsible because he commandeth now that all men everywhere to repent. Repent of your false worship. Repent of your false God adoration. Repent of all this stuff and turn to God to save you. Verse 31, he says, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he's ordained. I love that part right there. Don't let that pass by you. If you have to underline that in your Bible, underline that, by that man which he has ordained. You see, Paul's telling about Jesus. God has sent that man whom he's ordained to be your Savior. He is going to judge all things through him. He's appointed a day for that. There's going to be a day when you will stand before God, and he has appointed that day, and you will answer for this. He's not going to wink on it. He's going to judge you through his Son, that man whom he's ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. You see, God has given all men the assurance. If you'll put your faith in my Son, Jesus, I've anointed him, I've appointed him as your Savior, I've made him that way. If you'll just put your faith and trust in him, then I assure you, you'll be saved. That's what Paul's telling him. He says, I give assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. You remember they were asking Paul about this resurrection, because Paul started telling them about it. Oh yeah, the Lord Jesus came. He lived a perfect life for 33 and a third years. And then they took him and put him on a cruel Roman cross, and they hung him there as he shed all his blood for the sins of men, for the sins of all the world. And he gave his life, and they took him down off that cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he arose again on the third day. And when he said that, the resurrection, he arose again on the third day, that's what got him. What is this babbler talking about? What does he mean about raising people from the dead?
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.